Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I wonder if you have someone you're praying for and you'd like to just let everybody know by lifting your hand. Is there anybody that you're praying for, especially tonight? You'd like all of us to enter in, okay? Many of us do. Let's pray and ask the Lord to work in these instances represented by your hands being lifted. Our Father, we're thankful tonight for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for bringing us together in the middle of the week. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together and to hear the Word of God preached and to bring our request before your throne of grace. Dear Father, we pray for these that are represented tonight, those that have lifted their hands concerned about these people. You know who they are. And we pray that you would bless them, that you, and first of all, that you would save them if they're not saved. We pray that you would, if they are Christians, that you would give them the grace of faith to face the trials they may be going through at this time. Now, Father, we're grateful that you are a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. We pray for our country tonight. Pray for our leaders. We pray, our Father, that your Holy Spirit would work and that you would have mercy upon us when we deserve your judgment for all of the sins of our nation. We pray, Father, that you might even send revival. We pray now that you would fill this preacher with your Holy Spirit and that this message would find its mark in the hearts of your people. And may Christ be glorified. May your people be edified. And we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22. And I'm going to read verses 36 through 40 as our text tonight. The title of the message, The Essence of God's Law. The essence or the nature or the substance of God's law. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. A large segment of so-called evangelical Christianity today preaches that love and God's law are contrasting and contradicting things. It is not unusual to hear people cry, love, not law. I remember being in college, there were those people on campus who would say, that was their motto, love, not law. This is the motto of a lot of professing Christians. Some people teach that obedience to God's law is a slavish thing, and that the believer is moved by love and therefore needs no law, and has been liberated from such slavish service to God. Such thinking is about as far from the truth of God's Word as it can possibly get. As we're going to see in this message tonight, there is no conflict between God's law and love. There is no conflict between Christian obedience to God's law, and that is, it's not a slavish thing. We're going to see from God's Word that there is a very close an inseparable relationship between love and God's law. We're going to see that love is, in fact, the very essence of God's law, that love is at the very core of what God requires in relation to His moral law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, the first commandment of which the Lord speaks here is a quotation of Deuteronomy 6:5, and it has to do with a person's love to God. The second commandment of which the Lord speaks here is a quotation of Leviticus 19:18, and it has to do with a person's love to his neighbor. In the message, we're going to consider three things in relation to the essence of God's law. Let's look first at love and God's law. What is the biblical relationship of love and God's law? The power of all true religion lies in love for God and love for man. Someone else has said that love is the soul of religion and that which constitutes a real Christian. This is certainly true as far as it goes. And if the love involved is love as God's Word defines it. The hippies in the 60s spoke often and a lot about love, oftentimes spelling it L-U-V. Usually having reference to free sex, but unconnected to God's moral law. Every cult and false religion talks much about love. Have you noticed that? Love is their favorite word, but they never connect love to God's moral law. Love for God is not a warm, fuzzy feeling, as a great many seem to think today. The biblical meaning of love is clearly defined by the moral law of God. As a matter of fact, love is a hearty obedience to God's commandments. Just proclaiming love tells nothing specific about our moral duty. Love in and of itself is not a standard of conduct. Now that's really an important statement. Love is not a standard of conduct. God's Word nowhere teaches that love dictates its own standard of conduct. God's Word does not teach that love is its own law. And yet many preachers and teachers continue to spread this great error today. Christian duty has no definition and no direction without God's moral law. The moral law is the rule book of love. That's one of the key things I want to try to impress upon you tonight. The moral law is the rule book of love. For example, how do we know what is right and what is wrong in connection with sexual behavior? Our duty is not found in the word love. Our duty in this area is found in the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Love is the only true motive for all duty, but love does not define our duty. You see what I'm saying? Love is a motive. It's not a definition. It's not our duty. It doesn't define our duty. Love has no direction apart from God's commands. Apart from a necessary external standard, love remains undefined. Apart from God's law, love remains biblically undefined and stripped of its necessary moral character. This is exactly what we have in today's world and in today's churches. A love that is totally stripped of any moral character. Now, I want us to consider here five specific things having to do with the relation of love to God's law. First of all, love and God's law are inseparable and harmonious in their relationship to each other. Some people teach that God's Word is divided against itself, with the Old Testament believers being directed by law and New Testament believers being directed by love. It's alarming when fundamentalist preachers set up an antithesis between law and love as if they were conflicting ideas. Such thinking and preaching undermines the Ten Commandments, biblical morality, and true Christianity. Undermines them all. There is a difference between love and law, but there's also an unbreakable connection between the two. Love cannot be put in place of the law. Instead, love and law belong together. Love and law are inseparable and harmonious mates. It may be surprising and certainly is sad that Christians could think that there is a contradiction between doing things in love and doing them because they are required by the law of God. God's Word teaches that love is motive and law is duty, and there's no contradiction in doing something out of love and also doing it out of obedience to the law. There is no contradiction between the things which are pleasing to God and the motive by which one pleases God. Now, a second thing I want us to consider in thinking about the relation of God's law and love is the fact that God's Word defines love for God as consisting in obeying God's law. It defines love as obeying God's law. What is love? Boy, I tell you, you ask the man on the street, and you'll get an answer, a different answer for every person you ask. What is love? How does God's Word define it? Well, the answer is found in 1 John 5:3. Let's turn to that. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is God's definition of love. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now turn to 2 John 6. Love never disregards the law of God. 2 John 6 says, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Biblical love is not just some subjective, undefined, indefinite feeling. It is an objective reality defined by God's moral law. Now, Paul makes it very plain in Romans 13, 8 through 10, if you'll turn to that. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Love is an objective reality defined by God's law. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. As for those today who teach that obedience to God's law is slavish and servile, and therefore to be rejected, the obedience of a servant need not be a servile obedience. When the slaves in the South were freed at the close of the war between the states, multitudes of them wished to remain with their masters. Why? Because they loved those masters. That wasn't a slavish service. A third thing in thinking about the relationship of love to God's law, love itself is a command of God. In Matthew 5, 43 and 44, the Lord Jesus commands His people to love thy neighbor and love your enemies. That's a command, both of those. In our text, the Lord Jesus makes love a command when He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Our Lord Jesus Christ directly connected God's commandments to love God and our fellow man. The mere fact that love is a command should silence those who think that there is an antithesis between law and love. Fourthly, Love is the goal at which God's law aims. Turn to 1 Timothy 1:5. 1 Timothy 1:5. Love is the goal at which the law aims. Here, love is called the end or the goal at which the commandments of God's law aim and the thing which God's law produces. Now, the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So the end, the design, the aim, the completion, the effect of the work of the law is love to God and love to our fellow man. Fifth, love, as the title of the message says, love is the essence of God's law. It is the very essence of the law of God that every commandment should be fulfilled in love. Love is the principle from which all duties and actions of men should flow. All proper obedience begins in the affections. Moral regulations are never a burden to a loving heart. They are a delight to that heart. You know, I don't hate the law of God anymore. I love it. Love gives power and pleasure to the ways of the law. If a man truly loves God, he will love God's law. Those who think they advance the cause of love by taking away the moral law are tragically mistaken. The spirit of genuine love is never at the expense of law and truth. Love does not abrogate the law. It fulfills the law. The law is fulfilled in love, and love is defined by the law. Well, next, the second major thing we shall consider in this message, our Lord's statement about love and God's law in the text. Look back at the text, if you will, Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord commands us here to love God with all of our hearts. What kind of a love is that? It's a sincere love. Not a hypocritical love, it's a sincere love. God wants the whole heart, and we must not divide our love between God and sin. With all our hearts means we must love God above everything else in our lives. You know, you don't see much love like that, even among Christians, do you? We must love God above our jobs, above our recreation, above sports, above our families. When a choice arises between God and any earthly object of our love, including our families, we must love God first. This is what the Lord Jesus is talking about in Matthew 10:37, if you'll turn over to that. Matthew 10:37. God demands that we love Him above all else, even above family. Matthew 10 and verse 37 says, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Listen, God demands the ultimate of our love. Thomas Boston, in commenting on loving God with all of our hearts, said, If we do not love God above all, we do not truly love Him at all. The essence of the law of God, the main thing for which it calls, is love. And this love is the strongest love possible. It is love with all the heart. The Lord also says we're to love God with all our minds, meaning with all the intellect, with all the powers of our minds, memory, thought, imagination, reason, judgment. Mark 12:30, in reporting this statement of our Lord about love, adds this, "And with all thy strength." We are to love God with every means of strength or power that we have, whether it be our physical strength or our financial strength or our political strength or whatever. All of our strength. We are to exert all of our energies in loving God. This means action. True love can never be inactive. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." This means to love God first and best and heartiest beyond all comparison to the love we have for any fellow creature or for ourselves. We are to love the Lord with everything that is in us. When the Lord Jesus says that this is the first commandment, He means first in importance. No love for any creature is worthy to be compared to the love that we have for God. God is to have first place in our love. And nothing is to be loved but what is love for Him and for His sake. The Lord Jesus calls this the great commandment because it comprehends or includes all others. And I'll have more to say about this in just a moment. It is great also because its demands are great. Woo! Who can comprehend the demands of that love? This command demands the love of our whole beings, heart and soul and mind and strength. The Lord Jesus says in our text that the sum of all the Ten Commandments is to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments comprehend the Ten Commandments to their fullest extent, and can in no way be considered an abrogation of those commandments. All the law is fulfilled in this: thou shalt love. In this command, the meaning of the law is understood. Love is the spirit of the law. Love animates our obedience to the law. The law itself is a call for love. Love to God and love to our fellow man. Lastly, I want to ask an important question. If love is the essence of the law, how can we show our love? It is love for God. Is this love for God a feeling that appears in the soul but finds no outward expression? How can we show our love for God? Walter Chantry says in his book, God's Righteous Kingdom, quote, "As love makes the moral law enjoyable to us, so also do the moral laws make love to God practical." How is love to God and to our fellow men made practical? How does this love express itself? And what channels may the waters of love flow, to quote somebody else? The proper expressions of love are defined by the moral commandments of God. Love is a motive for obedient action. Love expresses itself in obedient action. Turn again to 1 John 5:3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandment." Now look at John 14:21, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. The Lord does not say, "If you love me any way you feel like doing so." No, He says in John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord says in John 14:15. If you love God with all your heart, you must obey the laws of the first table of the Ten Commandments, the ones dealing with one's relationship to God. Love to God is the heart of the moral law. Moral laws are hands and feet of a heart of love. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you must obey the laws of the second table, those having to do with one's relationship with his fellow man. Christian love, in its expression, is necessarily and objectively defined by the law. Turn once again to Romans 13, 8 through 10. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, what is all that said? It says if you love your neighbor, you obey, you don't commit adultery with his wife, you don't steal his goods, you don't covet his goods, you don't lie to him. That shows that your love for your neighbor. Love must so influence us that it leads us to act toward our neighbors as God's law requires. If love does not lead us to fulfill the law of God, it is not the love of which God's Word speaks. Well, in conclusion, the essence of God's law is love. Love for God and love for our fellow man. The law does not suffer at the hands of love. Neither is love cramped and frozen by the law. Love keeps God's commandments. Without the grace of God, a man can have no true love to God at all. The opposite is the case. The carnal mind is, or the natural mind, is enmity against God, as Paul says in Romans 8, 7. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. How do we know the natural man is at enmity with God? It's because he doesn't obey the law. He's not subject to it. And he can't be subject to it. He can't obey it. By nature, we have no love to God. You know, a lot of people on the street tell you, oh, I love God. They don't love him because they break his commandments every day. Instead, by nature, we do not love God. Instead, we have hearts of stone. The natural man's heart is a heart of stone. God speaks about this fact in Ezekiel 36, 26. Let's turn to that. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new heart will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. No fallen man can love God as the Lord Jesus requires in our text. Not possible for an unregenerate man to love God like this. We cannot even obey the first and great commandment. But there is one who has obeyed the law, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus embodied all of the law's commands in his own life. What a perfect life. I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, the Lord said in John 15, 10. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of God's law, and he did so out of love, and he did so in the place of and in behalf of his elect. Only God's all-powerful grace can make a stony heart melt in love. Regenerate persons seek to obey God's law by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in them. The Spirit of God moves the heart to love and delight in that which God commands. The law itself cannot produce love for God in the heart. You know, just read the natural man reading the law of God, that doesn't produce any love. In fact, it produces fear and hatred in the natural man. Only the powerful grace of God can put love for God in one's heart. Ask God to give you a heart of love. Ask Him to give you a heart to love Him like this. He will. The love-only doctrine is the enemy of the eternal souls of men. Christians should reject all preaching and all teaching that would separate law from love. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let's stand together for our closing prayer.